Hey everyone, welcome to GVN Interviews. My name is Mike Fawn, and I am so excited because I have Lynn Griffin here, who was in the cult film Black Christmas, one of my all-time favorites. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. So jumping right in, I'd love to hear about like how you were cast in this film and what your first impressions of the film was.
I had just a regular kind of audition. However, at the time, I was working at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in Canada, doing Shakespeare. So I didn't have much connection to horror films at all. Anyway, I came in and I auditioned for it. Now, I think, I don't know whether I'm going to use these because they're, I can hear you now. Can I? Talk to me, Mike.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're good. Sorry about that. So I didn't have much connection with film particularly or with horror because I was doing mainly theater. So, but I think I scored the part only because the requirements were kind of specific. And I said, they said, like, how would you feel? Like, because your character would have a plastic bag put over her head and that's how she will die. And I said, well, I am a good swimmer, so I can hold my breath for a long time if that helps. So that might have been, you know, just the key that they needed to hear. Now, of course, it was true when we actually did it. Yes, I did have to hold my breath for a long time. Because there's no tricks. There's no, like, air holes or anything like that, because it was causing the bag to move if I could breathe at all. And also condensation was forming. And so anyway, and when I see the film now, I'm actually quite impressed about how long I can hold my breath with my mouth open and my eyes open and look suffocated.
Yeah, it's such an intense scene. And I wanted to ask, like, how, because it seems like, you know, the person doing that to you, it's just like they're just going full force. It's really intense.
Yeah. I mean, the great part was Bob Clark, the director, was just such a lovely, I called him Uncle Bob. He was like a big, lovely bear. And he was the one sitting opposite me when we were in the attic and I was in the rocking chair and he had his foot on the rocker rocking me. And he was talking me through it the whole time. And he was making it, actually, if you can believe it, he was making it fun. It was like a challenge. It was like a game that we were playing. And then but before that, the part that's in the closet where I actually am being strangled when I'm looking for the cat, Claude, that was Bert Dunk, who was the cameraman who was in the closet behind the plastic bag with the camera sort of rigged on his chest. And so it's his hands that are actually strangling me. It was very cool. Bert Dunk did a lot of really cool stuff on that film because he sort of invented the early Steadicam. And it was his hands crawling up the trellis on the outside wearing the Steadicam. Anytime you see, you know, hands and stuff, it's usually Bert's hands, the cameraman, not giving anything away. Try not to do too many spoilers, Lynn.
Yeah, no, that's great. So it sounded like Bob Clark was great to work with.
Yeah, he was lovely. Yeah, he made it like the whole thing was like a Christmas party. Even though, you know, and funnily enough, because you go, you would think making a horror film, you know, going in every day, it might be a bit unsettling, needless to say, but it was actually always fun. But, you know, Bob Clark, his other Christmas movie is A Christmas Story. So, yeah. I mean, he had a wonderful sense of humor and really sort of an early, very innovative way of doing horror films and sort of really creating a genre that other people then ended up imitating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, 100%. It's such an influential film. And I'm kind of curious, like, when did you start noticing that the film was becoming a cult classic? Was there a specific time where you were like...
Yeah. You know, Mike, it was really, I guess it started with them bringing it out on, well, it was even before, like, it was VHS, but I think maybe it was really started to pick up once it came out on DVD. And then really how I got kind of pulled into the melee of the horror convention and people wanting to talk to me about it was through Facebook. People found me on Facebook and they said, hey, you know, were you the girl in the plastic bag in Black Christmas? And I was like, oh, yeah, I was. It was a long time ago, but yeah. Anyway, so I started, there were some guys in New Jersey who ran a horror con called Saturday Nightmares, and they invited me to go to that. And I mean, it was incredible. Before that, I'd done some appearances in Toronto, but I'd never sort of gone out on the horror circuit. So then it kind of exploded.
Nice.
Kind of my own mini Star Trek.
That's great. Now, I know your co-star, Andrea Martin, appeared in the 2006 Black Christmas. Were you... did they offer to bring you back as in a cameo or anything?
They didn't, but I'm assuming that's because I was dead. although, you know, I don't love to give too many spoilers, but I, even though I said I was dead, I would have been very like skeletal by that point, wouldn't I? There wouldn't have been much, but probably some ashes left of me somewhere. And, you know, the funny thing is I would love if, you know, I know there's been several sequels to Black Christmas now, but I always wanted to come back and play Mrs. Mack, but see, Andrea got to do that.
Yeah, no, I was going to say they could definitely, like, I, you know, was thinking they could definitely bring you back, like, as any character. You could just be a different.
Yeah, well. Hopefully people will be listening to this very podcast or and they'll go, Mike, that's a brilliant idea. Why don't we bring Lynn back? And then I'll have to pay you commission.
we're gonna put it out in the universe.
Yes, I'm totally for that. Totally. I put it out there. I also would really like someday to play the serial killer. So we've put that out there too. Yeah, just a little old lady, you know, lives next door, invites you over for tea.
Yeah,
and arsenic.
I think you kind of have the Mrs. Claus look. I feel like you could do.
Well, yes, I've played Mrs. Claus. I have two Mrs. Claus Christmas movies called Santa Baby 1 and Santa Baby 2 with Jenny McCarthy. And yeah, playing my daughter, you know, and it's the usual kind of Hallmark story, you know, dad's had an accident and you have to come back from your high-powered New York executive job to help out at the Christmas tree farm.
yeah, and actually talking about some more of your recent projects, you did another Christmas movie last year, right?
Ghosts of Christmas Past. Yes, I got to play a fortune teller, and I did another horror movie playing a fortune teller this year that is called Kilgrin. Killgrin, which hopefully will come out in 2023. So I think I've altogether Well, if we count them, I may be up to like six or seven Christmas movies, like all together, because I have another one called Fur Crazy, and there's another couple ones that I can't even remember now because there's too many of them. And the interesting thing that I just did was I was just working on a movie that Sofia Coppola was directing, which is... Wow.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
A film version, her adaptation of the book Elvis and Me by Priscilla Presley.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's about Elvis and Priscilla, and I play Elvis's grandmother.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
No, that's very exciting. And, you know, you're definitely no stranger to like other cult films, you know, Curtains.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Strange
See,
Brew.
I love talking
one.
About Curtains only because I don't have to do really any spoilers for Curtains only by saying to the fact that it's one of the few films that I am still in the last reel of the film.
Yeah,
because I've died so many different ways on film. It's you know, we laugh about it, we create lists and going, yeah, drowning, yes, being set on fire, yes, jumping from the top of a high building, yes, oh yeah, dead many ways. Look at this space, you just want to kill it.
Now when you do conventions, like I said, you have a lot of like Black Christmas, obviously, but like I said, Curtain, Strange Brew. What's the film that most fans come up to you about? Is it Black Christmas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unless the convention, I mean, I did do a convention right before the pandemic in Pensacola, Florida, where we were doing a reunion for Strange Brew. So Dave Thomas was there and Angus McInnes and myself. It wasn't a really big reunion, obviously, because there were just the three of us. But that was primarily to talk about Strange Brew and to do a Q&A with the people there. So it was interesting because Strange Brew is probably, funnily enough, the one that gets the least attention, but mostly because these are horror conventions.
Yeah.
Specifically, I think if I did like when I did do like a fan expo or a Comic-Con, they'd be interested in Strange Brew probably primarily. But I think too, I mean, the way conventions work, they love to sort of reunite casts as much as possible. And with Black Christmas, between myself and Art Hindle, we're the only ones going out representing it. Olivia, bless her heart, just did a convention for the first time. It may have been the first time. Wow. But it was a Romeo and Juliet reunion. But evidently a lot of people were talking to her about Black Christmas as well. And that was at Chiller this past, well, whatever month or whatever. So maybe we'll get Olivia to come out more and then we'll be able to do some more Black Christmas reunion.
Yeah, that'd be great. When was the last time that you saw Olivia Hussey? Was it way back when?
Yeah, way back then, although we are constant Facebook friends.
Oh,
so
nice.
we're always sharing photographs and definitely following the career of her daughter. You know, I mean, it's interesting because these movies come up at Christmas time, particularly because she played Mary, right? And so she's a mother of Christ as well. So she has a lot of connections to Christmas, as do I.
Now, and what's funny is I once heard a really fun story about Steve Martin actually coming up to Olivia Hussey on the, I forget what they were filming, And he was like, oh, we're in one of my favorite movies. And she's like, oh, Romeo and Juliet. And he's like, no, Black Christmas.
I know. I just heard this story. Steve, come on, Steve. If you're out there, come on. Give me a call. I'd love to chat about Black Christmas.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because the other person that I was told was favorite Christmas movie was Quentin Tarantino.
Mm.
So that's two pretty heavy duty fans there.
Yeah, I think you should be in his next movie.
That Steve Martin likes it. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. I was kind of curious, had you ever had a high profile like fan that was in the industry want to talk to you about Black Christmas?
I don't know. Because when you're at conventions, you know, a lot of times there's like wonderfully famous people there that you get to sit and talk to. And I don't know whether they came up to me or, when I was sitting at a table at breakfast, was it breakfast or a very late night, you know, I just wanted a bowl of soup, and I was sitting next to David Warner. And, wow. You know, I mean, I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm starstruck now. The other person that I scared was Paul McGann, who is in Withnell and I, and also Doctor Who. So Paul McGann, I met at a convention. And he looked very concerned when I told him my name, because he thought that he'd actually dated someone named Lynn Griffin, like way back in the day, and that I was possibly stalking him. But I said, no, it must be a different Lynn Griffin, not me. You know, there's lots of probably Lynn Griffins back in Wales or somewhere like that where my family came from. But
yeah,
no one has actually said, you know, like taking me aside and, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe they have. And I, you know, I'm just so not, I don't talk about myself very much. And like, if you're working with someone like Meryl Streep, you don't sort of say, hey, have you seen my movie Black Christmas? And just, you know, a little aside, I did do a film with Meryl Streep. She was wonderful to me. We were shooting in a hospital. Everybody that came up to her that wanted their cast signed, like, you know, I'm talking broken legs, broken arm casts, she would sign.
That's great.
And she was very nice to me because I was stuck behind a desk. I was playing a sort of pencil pusher at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And I wouldn't let her in to see the doctor that she wanted to see with her child. And so I was stuck behind this desk, and the craft service guy went by, you know, with his tray of smoothies and walked right by me. I wasn't that important. And she looked over and she said, you've been sitting behind that desk all day. I'm going to go and get you a smoothie.
Oh,
so she did. So,
awesome.
You know, I mean, there's those kind of moments with, people that are, you know, totally I'm starstruck by and have had the great luck to be working with. It's pretty impressive. And you try to be cool and try to be, you know, I'm just another actor, but it's pretty exciting. And particularly, let me just circle back to Olivia, because when I was making Black Christmas, of course, I had mentioned that I was doing Shakespeare at the Stratford Festival in Canada. And of course, for me to be able to sit down and talk to Olivia about working with Franco Zeffirelli and playing Juliet was really quite extraordinary. And she did warm up quite a bit when I had mentioned that that was my background.
Nice. Yeah, so it sounds like that was such, you know, Black Christmas was such a great experience. It sounded like everybody kind of cultivated a really nice sort of working, you know, like arena to.
Yeah, I think we were all pretty new to the game. I mean, I was, you know, gobsmacked by Margot Kidder, because I certainly knew her work and I mean, I was at that time, I had been cast a lot as the perpetual virgin. So being with some of these other people that were a little more experienced than me was really kind of fun and exciting, but everybody was really easygoing, and there was a great sense that Bob Clark let us sort of be improvisational. And I mean, I don't remember some of the scenes being heavily scripted that we had to stick to. And certainly Margot had a wonderful time ad-libbing some scenes and being very method in her work. God bless her and rest her soul.
Was she fun to work with?
My God, she's hysterical. I mean, and she's so spontaneous, alive, just in the moment. That whole sequence with the turtles, and I mean, even though the scene in the cop shop in the police station was scripted, she was certainly making a delicious meal out of that scene and those words.
That's awesome.